ah, what do you drink with this food or that food? It's become a big thing now, and it can enhance your meal in many, many ways. Good morning. It is 8:14, Galesburg's Morning News. Sam Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher, Adam Vitale, president of G&M Distributors, joining us this morning. Adam, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. Great to be here.
Well, I know we missed out on getting you in for Oktoberfest.
But we did.
That's not the only time you can have an imbibe a little bit, right?
It's always, you know, you can have a libation, you know, with just about any meal.
Well, I wanted to ask you first off, because we're going to talk about this Bourbon County Reserve that's going to be coming out. The Budweiser Copper Reserve,
yes.
Is that still available?
Still available. This is the last year for the Jim Beam Black Lager and Copper Reserve. There are two this holiday season. There's one made in Jim Beam Black barrels, but this is it. After that, the partnership is going to end for a little while, but it's still there.
Absolutely. Okay, just want to make sure those were still available.
It should all be stocked in local stores.
All right, very good. Well, we got you in with one of the things we're going to talk about. I thought this was a great idea on your part and something I hadn't thought about. You know, what's really big now is a pairing of whether it's wine with different foods. And now something's become big with beers with
Absolutely.
Different foods now as well. So thinking about the holidays, a lot of people have holiday gatherings, and a lot of people have wine before or with, especially their Thanksgiving meal or whatever holiday meal. So think, okay, well, your turkey, your mashed potatoes and gravy, you got some fruit in there with the cranberries and all kind of different things. So what kind of things pair well? And one of the things that you gave us a sample of, La Marca Prosecco, which is a sparkling wine. And, of course, we all say champagne.
Exactly.
Technically, it's not because it doesn't come from the Champagne region of France,
exactly.
However. So let's talk a little bit about this La Marca Prosecco.
Yeah, absolutely. So the La Marca Prosecco, it's Italian. It's made with the Glera grape, which is indigenous to Italy. And it's just a really fantastic, crisp way to start off your Thanksgiving. Pairs great with a lot of things, whether you've got
Orange juice.
Yes, exactly. It's a great way to start your Thanksgiving morning off, especially if your family, provides some challenges. You know, it starts to ease the tension a little bit, cuts right through it. But, you know, more importantly, it's a great with it just pairs with a ton of foods. It's good for people that are just kind of getting into wine, people that love, you know, real champagne from France. It cuts across the board. And you can have it, like I said, with a charcuterie board, or you can have it with potato chips.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Or with beer nuts. Bar mix, which we have to have in here today.
You're speaking my language.
but no, it's and for me, I was just having this conversation with you off the air, and I've talked about it on the air, how I've got such a weird palate with most wines. I just taste alcohol. But sparkling wines, I'm fine. I taste the sweetness, and I actually like them. So it's a little bit different. And like I said, great as a mimosa. It works really, really well that way.
Absolutely, yeah. It complements the orange juice nicely, and goes down easy.
So, and not necessarily something you're probably going to drink with a meal, though.
Some people do. You know, it used to be that sparkling wine was New Year's Eve only, and it's really expanded. People drink sparkling wine every day now. It's just such a refreshing, great beverage. And, you know, I think a lot of us thought of sparkling wine when we first started drinking champagne as this real yeasty, gross-tasting stuff, very dry, where Proseccos and Cavas from Spain are crisp and light and refreshing and just a tinge of sweetness, but not sickening sweet by any means.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like I said, I can actually get the sweetness from that, which I don't get from most other wines for whatever reason.
Tyler, that's why it's so good for brunch.
Exactly.
Yeah, you got an excuse to drink in the morning.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, you can have a Bloody Mary in one hand and a mimosa in the other, and you're ready to go.
It's not just for tailgaters anymore.
Tyler, you can attest it makes a pretty good mimosa as well.
Yes, it does.
It really does. All right.
So let's, vitamin C.
Let's stay on the wines right here. We've got a couple. We actually have a corkscrew here, too.
Oh, fantastic.
Let's see. This Story Point. It's a Pinot Noir, California wine. And then the other, also from Story Point, it's a Chardonnay, both California wines. Let's talk a little bit about
the
Pinot Noir.
Yeah, so Story Point's a newer winery for us. A really, as you can see, absolutely stunning label. And both Chardonnay and Pinot Noir pair great with Thanksgiving. If you're a white wine drinker, a real light white wine won't stand up to all the flavors in Thanksgiving. So Chardonnay really complements whether it's the gravy, the cranberry sauce. If you know, depending on how you prepare your turkey, if it's traditional, whatever. But a lot of people don't like white wine. If you don't like white wine, Pinot Noir is absolutely ideal for Thanksgiving because it's the lightest of the red. You know, someone once, when I first was learning about wine, kind of gave me this spectrum to understand wine. And if you look at it on the milk spectrum, Pinot Noir is like skim milk. the lightest, the most delicate, also the most difficult to make.
So if one was going to work for me, they would probably be that one.
Yes, maybe. Exactly.
Okay, so we're going to give it a shot here. Coming up.
Yeah, absolutely.
We brought out our best crystal.
It's the finest, WGIL's finest crystal.
It's French,
crystal.
It's called Styrofoam. it's white, white crystal Styrofoam is what we call it. So this,
you won't hear us clinging.
Talk about a good pairing.
It will not, this does not cling at all. It's really crazy. Are you going to give one to
Tyler.
Come on. A good host here. All right.
So imagine having this. You know, you've got your mashed potatoes and gravy there,
yeah.
And this is just complementing those beautifully, and really just a neat wine. Most of the grapes from this one come from Sonoma County, California, Mendocino County, California, and Lake County. So those three counties comprise the majority of the
grapes. And the interesting thing with my palate, the smell, the bouquet or whatever they call it, I get it. I get the fruits in that in it. So let's see what the palate has to say.
You know, I get a little green apple from it. You know, a little bit of peach, pear, but still very like a nice balanced and crisp finish.
Okay, I have to say, because for me, usually I get just a straight alcohol taste. I get a strong alcohol taste, but I do get the notes. I get a little of the apple. I think you mentioned the green apple. I do get a little bit of that. So that might be one that would work for me.
And this one, I think, just barely touches a little bit of wood, a little bit of oak. So it's it's one of those, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, I don't like Chardonnay because it tastes like I'm drinking an oak barrel. This one does not that way at all. It's a much more fruit-forward one.
So with whether Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and all the different Chablis, does that have to do with the type of grapes that are used?
Does,
is that where the name comes from?
Yeah, so if in the United States, we primarily market our wines on varietals. Which drives the French and the Italians and the Spanish crazy because they market theirs on region. A lot of them you'll see now French wines you've seen for several years say Chardonnay, Pinot Noir on them. They would prefer to say Chablis or Burgundy or you know where it's from. But in the United States, all of our wines are typically what's in there. And a certain percentage of each grape has to be the predominant grape in there as well in order for it to be called Pinot Noir.
All right. Well, let's Tyler, you're an expert apparently with the corkscrew.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I can't get the cork out though.
Uh-oh.
There we go.
So this was the Chardonnay. The
Chardonnay,
okay. Oh,
yes.
So it was actually so even the Pinot Noir should work even a little better for me then. I thought we were doing the Pinot Noir first, but that was a Chardonnay. Okay.
Yeah, so that's great for those white wine drinkers on Thanksgiving.
Okay, so talk about the different white wine and red wines. What the biggest difference is, you know, the heaviness or what's the big difference?
Yeah, you know, a white wine is typically a little lighter, can be crisper. You serve it cold. A red wine you want to serve slightly below room temperature. And it's just red wines typically have a little more flavor, a little drier, and age a little better. But it really just depends on the wine. I mean, 90% of the wine in the stores in America is meant to be consumed within a year or so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, some of the finer wines do, but most wines are ready to go.
So if in fact, you know, you buy a bottle and you let it sit, whether in your wine cooler, your wine cellar, or whatever. Is it going to continue to age?
Yes,
will it get better? In general?
It depends. Some will, some won't. You know, less expensive wines, I usually say $30 and under doesn't really change a whole lot.
Okay,
a red wine will get softer over time. So a really robust Cabernet that you crack open today, a 2016, that's going to change dramatically over the next 10 years and just get softer and softer every year.
Okay, so with this Pinot Noir, I can actually. The smelling this, I actually can get like a grape juice smell out of that.
Yeah, and there should be a little more earthiness with this versus the white wine. Yeah, and this one definitely has a little bit of that.
Maybe my palate's getting better.
You're getting more sophisticated as you sit here.
The sophisticated palate of town.
You know, a little bit.
Nachos and Pinot Noir.
I was really concerned. You know, you were going to ask me what pairs well with nachos. And
yes.
You know, the very serious question is if you put jalapenos on your nachos.
Oh, okay.
Because if you don't, you know, that changes the conversation dramatically.
Really? So without I am a jalapeno person, so I will have them on there. So what's the suggestion?
So if I'm putting jalapenos on a nachos and I want a wine that can stand up, so anything super spicy, I always default to Zinfandel. Now Zinfandel, this is the red Zinfandel, not the pink stuff. And Red Zinfandel is just this peppery, powerful red wine that holds up to spicy food. If you, you know, and this is so counterintuitive to what wine experts recommend, but if you deep fry your turkey and you inject it with all sorts of spices and you want a red wine, a Pinot Noir can't hold up to it. It's just okay. too delicate. You want that Zinfandel to just power through if you want to really complement the meal nicely.
Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors, joining us here this morning, doing a little wine tasting, talk about pairings with foods. I have to ask the question. Yeah. The Little Smokies, and would it be different for Little Smokies in the mac and cheese? Is that two different wines?
You know, I don't. The Little Smokies are
with
such
and
a
without
distinct,
jalapenos.
Yeah, they're such a distinct flavor, man. That's a tough one. But you know, if they're not overly spicy, you know, Pinot Noir, Merlot would pair very nicely with them and complement them just fine. So, yeah, I would recommend that, or you know. Crisp Budweiser always works.
That's what I said. Right. You know what? Clean, refreshing Budweiser.
Exactly.
It doesn't matter what it is.
No,
it
goes with everything.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, especially that uncle.
There's some, you know, different families have different traditions. You know, sometimes you show up to Thanksgiving, you're handed a glass of wine or whatever, and then other times you have it with the meal. Yeah. Other times you're going to have it with dessert. So say pumpkin pie or chocolate pie.
Then that changes the conversation dramatically.
That where like the Prosecco comes in or something like that?
So Prosecco cuts through it if you don't want – if people don't like sweet wine, sparkling is perfect for dessert. You know, sweet wine typically pairs well with dessert. So that's when I pull out a Riesling, a Gewürztraminer. You know, something that's sweeter and balanced, not something sickening and sweet. Even a Moscato d'Asti. So, you know, that's a sparkling Italian, but much sweeter than the Prosecco.
You know, maybe my problem before, maybe it's the $7 bottle of wine. Maybe that's why all I tasted was alcohol. Maybe that
could be.
I don't know.
That could be.
I don't know.
Those bottles from a van, they never
for whatever reason.
Yeah, when you're making it in your backyard, it also doesn't work.
Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors joining us here this morning. We're going to talk more about some beers and different beers. We'll talk more about some other holiday meals that might pair well. We'll take a quick break here. Let's go ahead and get the news headlines with Tyler.
Downtown revitalization plan approved.
AM WGIL. Tom Meredith, Tyler Gum, Nick Isher. Let's see. We're talking wine. We're talking beer. We're talking some libations to pair with your holidays here. Adam Vitale is the president of G&M Distributors here in Galesburg. A lot of great products. All right, so we've talked turkey. Mm-hmm. So holiday meals, and we're looking ahead to Christmas as well. Different people do different things. Ham,
yeah, absolutely.
Prime rib, and I'm guessing it's probably some for a meat in particular is probably different each time when it comes to the wine.
Yeah, it is. You know, so it also depends on the cut of meat. So something delicate like a filet, you want to stay with that lighter strata of wine, that Pinot Noir. If it's that prime rib that's salted and peppered and got a lot of flavor, or a flank steak, that's when I really migrate towards Cabernet Sauvignon. It's a little more fuller bodied, a lot more power to it, and there's just some great Cabernets coming out right now from California.
Okay, so you mentioned ham, very salty.
Yeah, exactly. Ham, very salty. Again, you want something that's going to cut through that salt. So again, that Chardonnay is really, really nice to cut through the salt, and it complements it nicely. If you have a maple glazed ham too, that Chardonnay is a really, really great compliment. And if you want something that's a little lighter than the ham, so you can really taste the salt, a Pinot Gris or Pinot Grigio, really the same grape. It just depends on if you're fancy or not. No. there is a little bit of nuances to it. But those are real light whites and just kind of a nice background compliment to ham.
Okay, so you in your life obviously grew up around the industry. You
I
know
did,
a lot
yeah.
about beer, especially too, and obviously with the wines. When you are having a meal, will you pair, or you just what I like is what I like, and I mean it doesn't matter. I'll drink I'm going to drink my Budweiser with whatever I'm eating, or will you pair a little bit?
I will
bit?
Try to pair a little. You know, it depends too who's coming over.
Yeah.
You know, if one of my sisters is coming over, it's Busch Light, goes with everything.
Mm-hmm.
The other likes to have a little more sophisticated taste, and so it really depends. I always say it's what you like.
Yeah.
You know, the experts can say red wine with steak and white wine with poultry. It's really all about what you like and what you feel tastes best. There's so many great pairings. I think it does add a lot of fun element to food to complement it with the drink, though.
Is there a general rule, like with wines, either red with this, white with this, with beers, like lager with this or ale with this or with this?
I would say there's some, you know, a lot of the IPAs are so powerful that they don't pair as well with food.
I would agree.
Yes, they're just like some of them, especially, just knock you off your chair.
Yeah.
And so the lagers are really great with like classic American food. spicy food. You know, a crisp, clean lager really pairs nicely with that. And then a pale ale, I think, is a really great pair with several different things. Again, also that spiciness to things.
And with the lagers, there's such a range also from light to dark. One of the products you brought, the Stella Artois, has a new one out. And what's the official name? The
Midnight Lager.
Midnight Lager.
Yeah, Jet Black bottle. Only the first time they've ever done it, first time they've ever really changed from the core Stella Artois beer. And it's a special beer just for the winter. We have a very, very limited release. We didn't get a lot of cases in it. And it's brewed with a little bit of different hops than a regular Stella Artois is.
You can taste like, you got like a dark chocolate taste in a little bit.
Exactly.
So there's still some bitter and espresso. So there's still some bitter, but it's not ale bitter.
Correct.
Though.
There's a little bit of bitter, but it's still a softer bitter than would be like an IPA. And it doesn't kind of hit you right up front. You know, it's great. This is a good one to have like with pork roast or brisket or, you know, that kind of stuff. That's just that hearty winter food. Midnight Lager is just awesome with the really, really great and a beautiful, beautiful bottle.
Yeah. So anywhere, you know, whether it's your Mick Ultra, Bud Select, your Bud Light, Busch Light, Budweiser, the Copper Lager. Well, and another one's going to be coming out soon, and it's next Friday is when it's going to be available. So let's talk about this.
I've broken all the rules today.
Goose Island product. Yeah. Well, you're not opening it. You're just
I'm
going
to give it to you though. So if you guys consume it, you know. So
we'll
Goose Island in Chicago, Illinois, Bourbon County Stout is kind of their flagship beer. Bourbon County Stout's the one that you see people lining up on Black Friday around the corner of a liquor store. They actually even do it in Galesburg, believe it or not.
Yeah, well, I remember last year we talked about this and that happened. There was lines of people waiting to get this beer.
This is a beer that technically we are not allowed to break the palate open until Thursday to get it, Wednesday to get it ready for our Friday deliveries.
This one accidentally broke
this open. This one accidentally, you know, it fell off the truck. Don't tell people at Goose Island. So there's one day, which was last Sunday, where you're allowed to taste Goose Island Bourbon County Stout for the year, and that was at the brewery. Actually, was there. It was really neat. It's called Proprietor's Day, and it's open. It's a lottery open to Chicago residents mainly to taste this year's offering of Bourbon County Stout. And then all of us distributors are under strict rules that you are not allowed to break the pallet or deliver it until Black Friday. So we have special teams that go out on that morning and deliver this Bourbon County Stout. More importantly, though, is the beer. So it's developed, it's aged. This year's brew is aged in Heaven Hill, Buffalo Trace, and Wild Turkey barrels.
Oh, wow.
So it's aged for about a year. Notes of vanilla, toffee, chocolate, burnt sugar, and dried fruit. This is something that will actually, you can drink it now, awesome to drink now, or you can leave it in the bottle for up to five years. Several people do verticals of this, so they have 5 years worth of beer, and every year they open the oldest one and kind of go up. It's just a really, really unique product.
So it's not going to turn into a skunky beer. This one's going to get better for you.
That's kind of a great idea. And bourbon and what they use to make the beer. It's just a really, just really unique product.
Yeah, I remember last year that there were lines.
Yeah,
people,
we don't get very many cases, and so it runs out. Some of the bars locally actually we'll have it on draft, which I think is my favorite way to do it.
Wow.
And we deliver it to them too for Black Friday. But they'll have it, you know, a 6-barrel of it. And it's not inexpensive by any means, but it's very, very limited, and that's why.
You know, it's really interesting that, you know, obviously some people, draft is the way to go. Some people bottle, and some people used to be this thing with this, I guess, stigma with cans. But even now it's, I don't know if it's technology, but things even taste fine in cans.
Absolutely,
you don't get that metallic flavor out of a can like
you used
to one
time.
Yeah,
the two biggest enemies for beer are heat and light.
Okay.
So you think about a can, light can't get through it. So it's actually just about ideal. And so more and more people, a lot of craft brewers, whether it's locals like Iron Spike, or you know, there's several other breweries that primarily are brewing in cans for stores now. And it's a great way to consume the product.
Yeah, and you mentioned most beers are in dark bottles. There are some
correct
that aren't, but most are. And that's the reason. Because
exactly. You don't want the beer to get what they call light struck, which happens, you know, even a clear bottle next to a light in a convenience store cooler can go bad.
Yeah. Adam Vitale is the president of T&M Distributors. Go ahead, Tom.
If I can reference one of the greatest cinematic adventures of the 20th century, the movie Cocktail.
Yes. That is definitely up there.
For Coughlin's Law.
Yes.
Well, and another thing I've always known that I've always been told is about different beers and different alcoholic beverages and letting it breathe
mm-hmm.
and pouring it into a pint glass or whatever.
Correct.
And has that changed at all?
You know, it has, especially with beer. So, like, for example, Bourbon County Stout, the recommendation is to drink it in a brandy snifter. So that way you can spin it and swirl it and let the air come in contact with it. And that's why, you know, whether you go to, let's say, you know, a Target store or wherever, and you see all these different variants of wine glasses, a Pinot Noir glass, a Cabernet glass, those are all designed to hit – so the air hits it and releases the aromatics in the wine. And so it does really make a big difference, especially in wine and then a lot of craft beers. Mm-hmm. That glassware really does change the flavor of it.
Yeah.
Well, that was all because Tyler was a huge Brian Brown fan, by the way.
Oh, well, who is that?
I'd like to see him flip the cocktail shaker around this morning.
We've tried that. We've tried that. Yeah. It's not a pretty sight.
I'll wear my rain jacket.
Two black eyes later. Well, the reason I ask is, you know, I just remember in college, you know, I'd be drinking my Keystone Light. And, you drink that out of the can, and you're just kind of, pour it into like a Pilsner glass or something, and it's like, oh, wow, this is so much better, you know?
It looks kind of respectable.
You're tricking yourself, basically.
I don't know that anything's going to make that taste better.
No, I'm just saying. The only thing that makes it taste better is when you're like 30 deep.
They don't remember your name.
Or if it turns into a Bud Light or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam Vitale, the president of G&M Distributors, joining us here this morning. And we've gone over time.
Oh,
I can't help with that. Well, that's what we get for drinking wine and mimosas on the show.
You're having fun.
Some great information. So, is there – it's hard because I asked, is there a general rule of thumb? But, gosh, there are so many different wines and beers and flavors and flavor profiles. And then so many different foods. Everybody has something different at their table for whatever the holiday meal is, or appetizers and everything. I mean, how about like maybe for appetizers in general? I know you mentioned the Prosecco. How about on the beer side of things?
Yeah, you know, for appetizers and beer, there's a lot of things you can do that are fun. You know, a nice pale ale or a lighter IPA would be great with cheeses and meats and things like that. You know, whether it's, you know, sticking in the Goose Island family, the Goose Island IPA is awesome. The Dry Hops 312 is a really nice wheat beer, Hefeweizen. I even think some of the Iron Spike, like their light rail, was great with appetizers too.
So some really great products out there. And again, the Goose Island Bourbon County, that's going to be available next Friday, week from tomorrow.
Black Friday.
So get in line early.
Your favorite place to find Goose Island beers.
You better, some people will be in line at the big box store. Some people are going to be in line at their favorite liquor outlet. Exactly. And not available for very long. Well, anything else on maybe any new products or anything?
You know, one of the other ones I think that is absolutely just fantastic for the holiday season, it's a newer product to G&M. It's been in the market just for about a year. Is Five Farms Irish Cream.
Oh, yes. I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. I had it written down. I taste tested that.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay, so one, if you're a collector, if you like cool bottles,
yes.
Number one, smaller
beautiful
bottle. Yes. How many ounces? Not very many ounces.
The one I think I got you was a pint. There's 375 milliliters. It comes in a 750 as well.
And it's, oh my goodness. Five Farms single batch Irish Cream liqueur from County Cork, Ireland.
Yes.
You know, I was talking with a friend of mine who works in the food industry, selling chemicals for the food industry, and somehow we got on the topic of milk and cheese and why it's so much better in Ireland. He said basically because of the weather, the cattle are able to graze year round, and in this the cream. I just drank a little bit of it straight, and wow, what an incredible flavor.
Over rocks straight, just cool, or in coffee, it is unbelievable. So. Five Farms stands literally for five Irish families in County Cork, Ireland that they're dairy farmers, and then they get unfortunately we're not allowed to mention the brand of Irish whiskey, but they mix it with this is Irish cream and Irish whiskey in a bottle. It is a true farm to bottle product. Within 48 hours of the cream being made, Irish liquor, it's all in there. It's a beautiful bottle, single batch. It's a kind of like a blue bottle with a swing cap. It's kind of a throwback to the cream milk jugs from the 1900s.
That's kind of what I thought. With that.
And it is just unbelievable. If you've ever had one of the big brand Irish creams, you know, they're out there. Everyone knows the name. Try this one.
Yeah.
It's more expensive. it is worth every penny.
But I know if people do that one with coffee, or and I'm not a coffee drinker. I've done it with hot chocolate.
Yes,
this the flavor of this just
different world.
Like, you know, even on the rocks, I guess it would be just wow. Just but yeah, you mix it with any of those, it's good. It's what an incredible flavor. Also brings me to one of the other things going on for Christmas. Budweiser, is it just in the case of cans? Special holiday cans, and this the coolest thing ever. The cans look like they have the pictures of basically the steins, right?
Exactly. Beautiful. So they're in the 25-ounce cans and then the 24-pack cans, so large packs of cans only. And there's limited edition, and the cans look exactly like the steins throughout history. So each 24-pack's got some different cans in it, as well as the traditional Budweiser cans. And they are just – they're a limited-time offer, just a beautiful, beautiful package. Great. If you want, you know, sometimes it's like, what the heck do I get that person for a gift? What do I get my dad, my grandfather, my brother? You know, why not give them something they can consume and enjoy and actually use?
Yeah, if you're a can collector, you haven't. There's those that'll punch the hole in the bottom to preserve the top of the can and still get to drink their great Budweiser out of it, but then still have the can. But yeah, those are really really cool looking. I know one of the other products, real quickly, one of the ciders, the hard cider.
Yes, so lots of hard ciders out this Christmas fall season, some with more cinnamony flavors, some just traditional. We've even got a couple beers brewed with hard cider. Breckenridge Brewery out of Breckenridge, Colorado, really, really neat beer brewed with apples from Colorado and the beer, and it's just a really neat apple ale.
Yeah, so some
– so many neat things this summer. I mean, this year, in 2019, we have launched more products and new products than we have in the company's history.
Wow.
And it's just – there's so much innovation right now, so much going on, and there's so much consumer demand for change, unique things, and different things. But that classic Budweiser is still there. The classic Busch is still there. But if you wanted to expand your horizons and try something new, it's available.
Absolutely, a lot of great flavors out there, and something's going to pair. And I guess the bottom line is, we really want to break it down. Whatever tastes good to you.
Yes, drink what you like and enjoy it.
Absolutely. Adam Vitale, he is the president of G&M Distributors. Adam, thank you so much
for
coming.
Thank you. I hope everyone has a safe and happy holiday season, and encourage everybody to always drink wiser and never drink and drive.